Well, here we are. This is session 13. And we're thinking in terms of worship resurrected. From Genesis 24, 40 through 53. Now, you might say, well, most of this story is about finding a wife and a servant who's gone to look for a wife. Yes, it is, but there are two points there where this servant worships God in the course of his task. That's what I want you to think about. And understand worship and what worship is. People are creators and builders because they are made in the image and likeness of God, the Creator. It is easy to see what mankind values by what is worshiped. What is worshiped can be determined by what is built by a people or a civilization. Those things which are built become objects representing what is worshiped. Now, all you have to do is look at history and you see that several hundred years ago people were building big cathedrals. Now what are they building? Well, they were building cathedrals, and then they went to building castles for themselves, and then they went to building various other things, tall buildings, skyscrapers. Then they went to building shopping malls. You see the difference in what people are doing with their thoughts and their life? But all of these things are things that are worshiped. Some people worship going shopping. Some people worship the marketplace. They really do. I got something better than you got. Oh, let me show you what I have. You see, very, very different things that happen. But let's look at worship here. Now, according to Merriam-Webster's dictionary, the etymology or the beginning of the word worship is a Middle English word that talks about worthiness, respect, reverence, paid to a divine being. Now, this is actually from the Old English, which is worscripi. Now, back in some of the Old English, they pronounced the E's at the ends of the words. Worthiness, again, respect, from worth. Now, it's also a verb, and this is the active part of it, to honor or reverence as divine, as a divine being or supernatural power. To regard with great or extravagant respect, honor, or devotion. And the example that they give here is a celebrity worshipped by her fans. Now, I want you to see there where it says regard with great or extravagant respect. Now, if you start looking at what people that you know, perhaps even yourself, what you regard with great or extravagant respect, then the question is it God? You see, as an intransitive verb, it is to perform or take part in worship or an act of worship. But worship is actually a contraction of worth, as in value, worth-ship. So it's something that contains worth. The word worship then originally had the meaning of worth, being carried out or shipped in behavior, revering that which had worth. Now that's what today's dictionary says about it. But let's see what the word was that Moses used. We go back to the books of Moses in the Bible. He basically used pretty much one word. The word Moses used for worship was shakah. And it had a primitive word, root to it, that meant depress. That is to, not depressed as in attitude, but depressed as in physical position. For a person to prostrate themselves. To show homage by bowing down or falling down flat. humbly beseeching, to do reverence, or make to stoop. Now that's what the word originally meant. It meant you were down on your face, basically, before God. Then, we don't see much of that today. I can remember a number of years ago when I was praying and fasting for this lady who had been told that she was probably going to die. And she was terrified, and she was a young woman in her early 30s. So I prayed and fasted, and I asked God to let her live. And I would lay on my face before God and pray. And one day God said to me, "You can go tell her that she shall not die, but she shall live." And I did. And she did. God kept his word. I mean, she kept going for her treatments and everything, but they weren't giving her. She wasn't having, her treatments were not having much success until after that point, and she started recovering, and she fully recovered. And I praised God for that. Just the way this servant of Abraham, you see, was worshiping God and praising God for God's faithfulness and what he had done. You see, worship resurrected is the attitude and action. Worship is just not just an attitude, it is also an action. And this is what Moses was talking about in the Word when he talked about worship. There was an action. You were flat on your face, or you were bowing down, or you were on your knees, or whatever. So, worship resurrected is an attitude and action of giving God his due as God, with nothing else placed ahead of him. Because anything you place ahead of God is, in fact, your God. It is an idol. God is the head and not the tail in the life of a believer. Now, listen to me closely here. Just knowing the correct relationship to the one worthy of a person's worship is not enough. It's just not enough just to know the relationship. Just as knowing that the debts a person owes is not enough to satisfy the debt. Just because you know how much money you owe doesn't mean you've satisfied the debt in any way. It just means you're aware of it. Payment of the debt in full is how a debt is satisfied. And worship is only satisfied not by knowing what worship is, but by performing the actual act of worship in your life. While it is true a person may indeed worship in a worship service, oh, listen closely to this. You may worship in a worship service if the worship is only done in a worship box. Then worship has been relegated to an also-ran position with every other activity in which a person engages. What am I saying there? I'm saying that if you worship at a time just set aside, that's nice, that's good. But if that's what your worship consists of, then what you've said is, I'm still God in my life. And I'll put this little box out here, and that's my little worship box. And then I have my little sinning box, and I have my little work box, and I have my little recreation box, and I have my little family box, and I have my little this box and that box and that. God's not just another file cabinet or another just box in your life, and doesn't want to be. You know, the most interesting thing, if you look at statistics in the world and you see, for example, maybe there's a business that's outstanding in its community. Maybe this business sells more clothing than anybody else in a particular marketplace area. Well, while it may do that, I'll tell you something interesting. That business that's number one, it could also be a radio station. I'll use a radio station as a better example, maybe. A radio station that's number one in the market, but this can go across any kind of anything that's number one in the market is... Get a picture in your mind of a yardstick. And maybe what's it at the top in it is at 36 inches on the yardstick. That's number one. Then you come down to 24 inches or 20 inches, somewhere in there is number two in that marketplace. And then all the other people in that marketplace are going to be at like 10 or below inches on that yardstick. I don't care what it is you're looking at. You will discover that to be the case. There's one huge company that we're all aware of in computers that is so far out in front of the next guy in the running. That's just the way it is. It seems, strangely enough, that no matter what field you're in, that's what's happening. Well, then you've got to decide, is God way out there at the top of the heap in your worship and your thinking, or is God just another box out there? You've got him in this nice little box. You feel good because when the time is that you set up, when you're going to go and you're going to give him that worship, you see, who's in charge there? It's not God. It's you. This is your box, God. You stay in this box. God doesn't fit in the box. You see, God made all the boxes. He doesn't fit in them. So it's very important to make sure that actually in your life, worship never has to be resurrected. That from the time you understand God, that you keep him at absolutely so far out in front of everything else. And if you find that you haven't done that, well, it's not hopeless. Put him back where he belongs. So far out in front of everything else. Because all those other things that you have perhaps been diverted in your thinking into are the very things that he will provide you. If he's at the top of the heap, so to speak. I had this friend, he's gone to be with the Lord now, but he used to always talk about who was at the top of the heap or what was at the top of the heap or what was... And God has to be at the top of the heap in your thinking, in your behavior, in everything. That's worship. How can a person know what they worship? Simply by inventorying what it is which fills their thoughts and deeds. Take an inventory. Find out. Say, how much time do I really spend with God in my thoughts? Now, I understand that you have to do other things, but that doesn't mean that God's not always there guiding you, directing you. You're not praying to him while you're doing it. I mean, you say, well, how can I do two things at once? You do it all the time when you drive a car. You drive along. We've talked about it before. You drive along, you go miles and miles and miles, and you don't remember how you got from point A to point B because you're doing all these other things that were in your mind and your thoughts while you were doing them. God has to be like that all the time in your mind and your thoughts. It becomes a part of you, just like driving becomes a part of you. It's a part of what's happening in your life because it is your life. And everything else fits into a little box in there. And so simply by inventorying these things in your mind and your thoughts and your deeds, even waiting on God, listen, even waiting on God may in fact be the purest form of worship. I cannot tell you how many people that I have seen want something so badly, and they would say, I'm waiting on God, and then they'd try to make it happen. Now, I'm not saying that you just sit there and vegetate, but what I'm saying is, if God said he's going to do something in your life, he's going to do it. Now, he may not do it in your time. He may not do it your way, because God's ways are not our ways. But if he said he's going to do it, he's not a man that he's going to lie. It's going to happen. He will carry it out. So, even waiting on God, I personally believe, is the purest form of worship. Because when you're wanting something to happen so badly, and you don't interfere by jumping in there and trying to make it happen on your own. Now, active waiting is not dormant. As I say, you're not just sitting there vegetating. Active waiting is not dormant. But doing all he has asked while you're waiting. There are many things that you know to do for God because he said these are the various things that he wants every believer to do. Just do those things while you're waiting for Him to bring about whatever it is He's promised you He would do. And you've heard me say before, the blessings overtake you. You don't create the blessings. You walk in the blessing, and all of that stuff comes and just overtakes you. And when God opens it up, He pours it out. He doesn't parcel it out. He pours it out. He empties it on you. Worship resurrected as the top priority will bring all the blessings of God. Now, I want to give you another example of worship and how worship can change in people's lives. Remember what we call Palm Sunday? Jesus came into Jerusalem, and what were they all doing? Oh, Hosanna, glory to God, praising, worshiping, laying down their cloaks and their palm branches in front of Him. And before the week was out, what was happening? Now, not everybody abandoned Him, but I want you to see what can happen. Now, certain things had to happen to bring about God's plan. But I want you to see how people can become cold in their worship. You know, cold to the point that when Peter was asked by the person, "Weren't you with that Galilean? You're one of the..." "Oh no, I didn't know him. I was never with him." You see, this can happen. You never want to give up on your worship. And what you do with your life is a form of worship. Always keep God at the top, number one. And when you do that, all these other things that you actually end up wasting your life trying to get on your own will come out of nowhere, it seems like. And there they'll be. And you will be blessed. So if worship is no longer the number one thing in your life, resurrect it. Make God first. And you will become the head and not the tail. Never make God the tail and not the head in your life. Worship, worship, worship. It is a lifestyle, not an event. There are certain events within the lifestyle of worship, but worship is a lifestyle, not an event. And let the blessings overtake you, and that's my message for this session.